welcome to Money Trail with me, Amir Arfa. Today, lies, damn lies, and official U.S. unemployment rates of around 7.5% to 8%. But what exactly is the real unemployment rate in the U.S.? So the Obama administration is bragging about dips in the unemployment rate, now standing at around 7.5% to 8%. Well, there must be a catch here, because so many other sources are giving different numbers, 23% to 42%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that only 58% of Americans 16 and up have jobs. So how would you explain the difference? And whose pants are on fire here? Well, turns out the official unemployment rate only counts the job seekers, those who are officially looking for a job. Problem? Many of those who have been looking for jobs for quite so long now have just given up, no longer looking for work. So no longer in government's list of job seekers, contributing to the dips in the unemployment rate, now standing at around 7.5%. Still, Mr. President, pants on fire. As the Obama administration raves about creating jobs and reducing the unemployment rate, the unreported truth is that employment to population ratio is now lower than the worst of 2007 to 2009 recession. For all the positivity about the April jobs report, the U.S. job market remains dismal. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, just 58.6% of American civilians aged 16 and up had jobs in April. That's a lower employment to population ratio than during the worst of a 2007 to 2009 recession. Even though the jobless rate has fallen, millions of people are not counted as unemployed because they've stopped looking for work or never started.
I believe it's an actual distortion of the real conditions involving employment in the United States. For example, in many cases, they do not count people who are underemployed, meaning that they're working part-time or one-fourth time, or they may be temporarily employed, or perhaps working in the informal economy when in fact they desire to have full-time work. Also, when you talk about the unemployment rate, it's based upon those people who are actively seeking work. When you have a situation where people have given up looking for jobs on a regular basis, this of course distorts the actual unemployment rate.
Figures released by the American government are constantly underplayed, and then the next month they're constantly revised upwards. It's just like if I told you that I hadn't killed anyone this last month, and then the next month I said, oh, I forgot, I only killed three people, and so therefore it was all going to be okay, and everybody would forget about the murders. Although the official unemployment rate in the United States, I believe, is 7.5% right now. Shadow stats run by a former government economist, John Williams, very highly respected in this country, reports that the current unemployment rate is actually 23%.
The figures that are being posted, the official numbers, are as credible as, I guess, the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They clearly are wrong. I'm someone who's currently job seeking, and I know many, many, many others, people with multiple graduate degrees who are not working or are doing odd jobs. I have someone in my extended family who works in the government who is aware of people being pressured to hold on to their jobs who are lying in the Commerce Department.
The situation is far worse for African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities.
African Americans have the highest rate of unemployment in the United States. It's usually at least twice as much as the national average. And then following them is usually the Latino community. But at the same time, even among whites, particularly white males, we've seen a sharp increase in unemployment as well, particularly over the last 5 to 6 years.
Analysts blame rampant unemployment figures on a outsourcing of jobs by huge corporations whose only principle happens to be maximizing profits for the top 1% who own the absolute majority of their shares.
So for years now, millions upon millions of Americans have been without a job. And their politicians have been promising to do their utmost, whatever it is they can, to remedy this problem. But why is it that nobody has been able to tackle this problem for years now? Isn't it because the U.S. is no longer a democracy of the people, by the people, and for the people, rather a corporatocracy with corporations following one maxim? Maximizing profit, sending jobs to simply everywhere in the world, China, Indonesia, India, where they can pocket huge sums for their shareholders. And who are those shareholders? The super elites, the jet setters, the socialites, those on top of the pyramid of power, those who own well above 80% of the shares in these huge corporations.
Well, in a system where you have a debt-based economy provided essentially by loans from banks, and then on top of that, you have banks competing against each other, they have to maximize their profits, or their hierarchy, their financial, their management hierarchy will be sacked for someone who does. So this just drives this community to ever-increasing levels of criminal behavior. So this is just a one-way ticket to economic hell. There's no way around it.
Well, over the last several decades, and it has intensified over the last decade, there has been a major capital flight inside the United States where jobs have been taken outside the country because it's more profitable in many cases to employ people, for example, in Bangladesh, where you have young women working in garment factories who make 17 cents an hour. It's against the law in the United States to pay people below a certain minimum wage level. Also, there's the problem associated with the profitability of corporations. They want to continue to raise their rate of profitability. So if they cannot make a reasonable, what they consider a reasonable rate of profit, they will not hire people.
The government's failure to create adequate jobs or adequate training programs for the available jobs on the one hand, and deregulating, or rather regulating on behalf of the corporate community on the other, with successive administrations setting out the Main Street to their paymasters in Wall Street on every single issue, from signing free trade agreements to enacting corporate-friendly labor-busting legislation.
It appears more and more that the American government, as well as that of the European Union, is run by a gang of financial thugs, and they seem to be completely above the law right now. They've contributed enough to the party in power here in the United States so that they feel they can break the law with absolute impunity.
I believe that this is a direct result of the policies of the large corporations who want to maximize profit, and also the failure of the U.S. Congress as well as the administration to actually enforce existing laws that mandate full employment.
The root cause, without question, is that the government, number one, is borrowing. No government anywhere in the world should be allowed to incur a national debt, because who do they do this borrowing from? They do it primarily from banks and central banks, foreign and domestic. This creates a situation which political science here in the United States has termed plutocracy. That's rule by the rich.
C, the Wall Streetization of U.S. economy away from real productive economy that used to generate real productive jobs.
Wall Street itself, another root cause of the current unemployment crisis, moving away from the real productive economy of the good old days, with the bankruptcy of GM, Ford, Daimler Chrysler a few years back, symbolic of the bankruptcy of U.S. industry and technology, especially compared to what the financial innovation of the Wall Street draining the brain power of the U.S. and its workforce.
It's the speculative economy. The greed of the elite in the society in the 60s, they no longer wanted to make cars. They don't want to make anything anymore. That's why all the factories went everywhere else. They just want to make trillions and trillions of dollars with derivatives. So you have a fake economy. America doesn't make anything anymore. The people who are rich don't want 100% profit. They want 1,000,000% profit.
D. Unaffordable higher education with student debt now well above $1 trillion, resulting in the byproduction of a chiefly unskilled and uneducated population unfit for the available vacancies.
As corporations outsource millions and millions of American people's jobs, their elected officials are pointing the fingers at them, blaming them for their misery, for their unemployment, saying, you're not educated enough. That is while the cost of college and university tuitions have shot up dramatically over the past few years, with the United States right now under $1 trillion of student debt.
You have had an extreme increase in tuition, the scaling back of scholarships involving higher education and trade-related education as well. However, even in the areas in which is considered high-skill or professional sectors of the economy, a lot of outsourcing has taken place in these areas as well. For example, in the fields of engineering, computer programming, there's a situation set up where with the internet now, you can employ people, for example, in Asia or in Latin America to do jobs that previously were done by people here in the United States.
The problem is that when you have government-subsidized higher education, you drive up the prices. Back when I went to college, you could attend college for a full semester for $1,000. And now, sometimes a full semester will cost you $40,000. And that's because the government is encouraging student loans, which does nothing but creates a bubble in the educational community. But none of these problems can be solved with fixes that do not look at the basic problem, and that is we are in a debt-based economy where the bankers have all the money, thereby they can buy all of the congressional votes they need. Thereby, you will never see effective legislation against the root of this problem as long as you're in this system.
We see articles all the time in the papers saying that people in the United States are not getting educated. They don't have the necessary skills to fill these positions. That's not true. If there was an actual desire and if there was a real labor shortage, there would be training programs for people to fill these jobs. Many people are trained on the job, and this has happened throughout the decades. These are just excuses that are used by the multinational corporations, as well as by the government, to make excuses for large-scale unemployment here in the United States.
America works on the brain drain system, undermining the development of other countries in the world, saving money by not investing in its educational sector, and stealing what was invested in the educational sector of other countries. That's why we have so many doctors and nurses from everywhere else. People here know that we need doctors and nurses. And while we'll take nurses and doctors from other places, they've destroyed hospitals and medical schools that belong to minorities. They did this through the American Medical Association. Other people did this. So we can keep pointing to the opportunity to teach people and educate people has always been here, but there hasn't been a desire. In fact, we can show that since the late 60s, the level of literacy for blacks has dropped because they've destroyed things like phonics. How are you going to learn a language? Nonetheless, I mean, don't even think about the sciences if you can't read or write or tell what the words are. Why did the government in the states remove phonics from education? Why would they remove math and art and music? I mean, public education has been systematically destroyed. They now can teach your children about homosexuality and how to have sex with some of the same sex, but they won't teach them the phonics, the fundamentals of their own language for them to be able to master education.
The United States, the world's largest economy, yet about 50 million people living in poverty. Millions are homeless. Tens of thousands of veterans happen to be homeless.
Census Bureau figures released in September 2012 revealed that record high numbers of people continue to live in poverty in the United States. The Census Bureau reports that 46.2 million people were living in poverty in the U.S. back in 2011, the largest number of persons counted as poor in the 53 years of poverty measurements, 15% for all Americans and about 22% for children. Almost one out of 16 people in the U.S. are living in deep poverty. The census defines people in deep poverty when they make 50% below the poverty line. Census figures show that in 2011, 6.6% of all people, or about 20.4 million people, lived in deep poverty in the U.S. Racial and ethnic minorities, women, children, and families headed by single women are particularly vulnerable to poverty and deep poverty. In 2011, 9.8% of non-Hispanic whites, that is 19.2 million, lived in poverty, and 4.4% in deep poverty. 25.3% of Hispanics, that is 13.2 million, lived in poverty, and 10.5% in deep poverty. 27.6% of blacks, that is 10.9 million African Americans, lived in poverty, and 12.8% in deep poverty. 12.5% of non-Hispanic white children under 18 live below poverty. 34.1% of Hispanic children under 18 live below poverty. And 38.8% of black children under 18 live below poverty. Overall, about 22% of children under 18, or some 16.1 million children, live below the poverty line. Although blacks represent 13.1% of the general population, they represent 27.6% of the poor population. Hispanics, who make up 16.7% of the population, represent 25.3% of the poor population.
Back in 2008, White House hopeful Barack Obama promised Americans hope and change. He promised to change Washington, D.C. He promised to stand up to Wall Street. He promised to do something about the economy, the unemployment, homelessness, and poverty that had gripped the entire nation. 4 years on, he started running on this platform of forward. But in retrospect now, whose hopes and dreams have come true under this president? The Main Street, who simply voted for him? Or the Wall Street, that paid cash?
You know, Obama is, if they ever need a black person to be a star in a Pinocchio movie, he would be my top. I mean, we could work on the makeup and the special effects for the nose. He's got the lying down. He is essentially, as far as I'm concerned, a gay rights ambulance chaser. He's done nothing for Main Street. He's done nothing for the people. He's done absolutely nothing, and he will always do nothing. He never did anything before he came to office. When he was in other places, he did nothing for people. When he was a student at Harvard, we went to Harvard at the same time, he's affiliated with the Federalist Society, an anti-working class, an anti-poor and people of color group. This man has no desire and will not have a desire. And the only thing that Obama will understand is when there are hundreds of thousands of people down out in front of the White House protesting him or calling for his impeachment, I actually think he should be impeached. Quote me, impeach Obama. I don't care what color he is. He's been useless for peace, useless for the people, useless for the poor, useless for African Americans, useless for ending senseless wars overseas, useless for doing anything for the economy, and he knows better.
He's done very little in reality. When he came in office in 2009, he pushed through a stimulus package, which was approximately $700 billion. But I think we'd be hard-pressed to really see what the impact of that package actually was. They claim, according to his advisors and spokespersons, that they saved or created approximately 2 million jobs. Now, we have no way of really verifying if that is actually the case. But if we take on face value that actually they did create 2 million jobs and saved 2 million jobs, there are approximately 35 to 40 million people in the United States who are either unemployed or underemployed. So even if 2 million jobs were created, it's really a drop in the bucket.
Some 4 years ago, National Bureau of Research, the only official venue in the U.S. that can call a recession, said the recession was over back in 2009. Now, 4 years on, the unemployment rate stands well above the worst peak of 2007 to 2009. Millions and millions of Americans are without a job. Millions are living under poverty. So is the recession really over? And has the U.S. really started its journey down the path of recovery, as politicians in Washington, D.C. suggest?
I don't see a real recovery taking place in the immediate period because the correct approach is not being enacted. In fact, these issues are not even really being discussed by the administration or by the U.S. Congress or by the multinational corporations which have so much influence within U.S. society.
No, there can be no recovery. I mean, we've heard predictions that the European economy was going to turn around every quarter for the last 2 years. It just hasn't materialized. We hear these same predictions here in the United States. And I think probably if you were to take a poll, a majority of Americans now would not believe that either. And in fact, most major economic figures that I read on a regular basis now believe that the second half of 2013 is going to be a major downturn for the U.S. economy.
Well, maybe there is recovery, but recovery for whom? I'm here in Washington, D.C., where they're throwing up buildings. 1,000 people move into this city every month who are earning about an average of $100,000 each. These are mostly white or Asian or others. 15% of the American public is doing great. This happens whenever you have a depression, recession within a society. Weimar Germany, there were people doing really well while the masses of Germans suffered. So you always have people doing well. The people that Obama and Bush and Romney care about, they're doing great. It's the people that they don't care about, that don't go to the dinners, that don't give four, five, or six-figure contributions to politicians or to think tanks. They're the people who are facing this, and they number in the tens of millions. So there's no recovery. They're closing schools everywhere. Bridges are falling apart. People are living in abandoned homes. Food banks are running out of food to give people supplemental food. We're talking about working people needing to go and get food. And the food we have is poisonous, full of hormones and other things, and genetically modified stuff, causing all sorts of ailments. And there are people who are sick. So there's a recovery for them. They'll always say, you know, there's a recovery. I mean, when Hitler was in the Reichstag, Goebbels was predicting victories.
Well, thank you for watching. Always follow the money trail. With me, Amir Arfa.